Grace to you and peace in the name of our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I think most of us, when we hear the word Pentecost, think of it as a Christian thing, something naming and commemorating the giving of the Holy Spirit to the disciples in those days following Jesus' ascension. Just as Christmas names and marks the birth of Jesus, so I think most of us think of Pentecost as naming and marking the giving of the Holy Spirit. But Pentecost existed as a festival for the Jewish people and in the Jewish tradition long before the giving of the Holy Spirit to the disciples. In the Hebrew language, this festival was known as Shavuot. Shavuot, it's kind of hard to say it. Some people use Shavuot, but it's Shavuot. In English, we just call it the Feast of Weeks, sometimes also called the Feast of Harvest. And it was celebrated on 50 days after the Passover. Thus, the name Pentecost in Greek, Pentecost meaning 50. It was one of the three appointed feasts each year for the Jewish people in which they were to make a pilgrimage to Jerusalem. Its main purpose was to commemorate and to thank God for the harvest. So it might be a little bit comparable to our national holiday of Thanksgiving. They also on this holiday or this feast day celebrated or remembered the giving of the law to Moses on Mount Sinai, the giving of the law to God's people there at Sinai. And thus, while we in Christianity have kind of often laid claim to this festival, it actually has its roots in the Jewish faith and in the Jewish tradition. Which I think brings us to the question then, so why did God choose this day to pour out his Spirit to the disciples? It doesn't explicitly say in the scriptures, but my guess is that because this festival brought, again, Jewish pilgrims together into Jerusalem from all around the Mediterranean world and beyond. If this was to be the start, or as we like to call it, the birth of the Christian church, which it was, then might as well get it started off with a bang, right? Might as well get it started off in such a way that the gospel could begin to be spread immediately to Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth, as Jesus had just told them 10 days earlier at the time of the ascension. Remember again, visiting Jerusalem for this festival were Jewish pilgrims from Mesopotamia and Media and Elam and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia and Phrygia and Pamphylia and Egypt and Libya and Rome and Arabia and all the way to India. And after God poured out his Spirit onto his disciples, all of these pilgrims who had gathered in Jerusalem from around the world got to hear the good news of Jesus' death on the cross and his resurrection from the grave and God's forgiveness of their sins in their own languages. And Acts tells us that on that day, about 3,000 of these Jewish pilgrims from around the world believed the gospel message, were baptized into the name of the triune God, and were filled with the Holy Spirit. And so what do you think they did when they returned back to their homes and their countries? They no doubt began to share with others the good news that had been shared with them. And so the church of Jesus Christ was born. And it began to spread already on this day of Pentecost. And thus this Jewish festival of the harvest became also a Christian celebration of a new kind of harvest, that of harvesting people for God's kingdom. In Matthew 9, Jesus had said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." And with the arrival of Pentecost, as the Holy Spirit began to fill God's people, that prayer of Jesus was being answered and fulfilled. In our gospel reading today from John 15, Jesus said, "When the Counselor comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me." And then Jesus said to his disciples, "And you also must testify." And that's exactly what they did the moment that they were filled with God's Holy Spirit. They began to testify about Jesus, speaking to others the wonders of God in the people's own native languages and calling them to faith through repentance and baptism. And their witness and their message were so piercing and so powerful that 3,000 people believed and were baptized on that day. And thus began the spread of the Christian church. Now, the book of Acts does not record what happened to those converted Jewish pilgrims who had come to Jerusalem for this Feast of Weeks when they went back home. But one can only imagine that when they did go back home, back to their countries, that they began to share with others this news about Jesus. I mean, that's what the shepherds did on the night of Jesus' birth. That's what the onlookers did who watched Jesus cast a demon out of a man in Mark 1. That's what the man with leprosy did after Jesus healed him. That's what the people did who saw Jesus heal the deaf and mute man, even though Jesus told them not to tell anybody. Over and over again in the Gospels, we see that folks who witnessed or who encountered a miracle of Jesus went and shared with others that miracle or shared what they had seen with them. And so it's safe, I believe, to assume that such happened also with those who became believers in Jesus on that first Christian Pentecost. Which makes me ask the question, though, why is it that's still happening today? Why isn't the Spirit still at work like that today? Like he was back then? Well, he is. There are places in the world where the church is on fire and folks are turning to faith in Christ Jesus and being baptized in vast numbers. Throughout parts of South Asia and Africa, the church is growing by leaps and bounds, even while the church here in America continues to shrink by leaps and bounds. So what happened? Why is the Holy Spirit converting folks to faith in great numbers over there, but not here? I think the answer to that is varied and complex. But the first and most obvious answer is that most likely it has to do with us. Because you see, the Holy Spirit only works salvation through means. And one of those means is the proclamation of God's word. But if that word of law and gospel is not being proclaimed to those outside of the church, then the Holy Spirit is not at work in those places bringing salvation to those people. Paul, remember his words in Romans 10, said, "How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they've not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news." Now I know that all of us in the church have not been sent to be preachers. But every single one of us have been called to be witnesses. Since we were each filled with the Holy Spirit in our baptism, we are now to bear witness to Jesus. But too often we don't do that, do we? Too often we keep that good news of Jesus to ourselves. Oh, sure, we'll admit to being Christian if someone asks us. But too often we don't freely and regularly offer up our faith and speak God's word into people's lives when they have not solicited that. And I'm not just saying that of us here at Christ Lutheran. That's true of the church here in America, the church in the West. In fact, and you know this is true, most of us are more willing to share with others news about a new restaurant that we tried that we really liked than we are to share with other people the news of God's forgiveness in Christ Jesus. And that's got to change if the Holy Spirit is to perform His saving work in the hearts and the minds of the people that live around us. Let's not let our relationship with Jesus become like a new pair of boots that we're excited to wear and show off when we first get them, but then that somehow find their way to the back of the closet once the shine and excitement is worn off. Jesus is the same yesterday and today and forever. His forgiveness and His love are as transformative and as salvific for us today as they were on the day of our baptism. The day when the Holy Spirit first made our hearts His temple. You and I have been washed of our sins, and we have been marked for eternal life because of the death and the resurrection of Jesus. And because the Holy Spirit brought that good news to us. Don't ever take that for granted. If you don't take it for granted, I guarantee you'll never get tired of sharing it. And if you and I, and the entire Western church for that matter, can get back to bearing witness to Jesus the way our church used to, with the words that we speak and the lives that we live, the Holy Spirit will once again have the necessary means available to Him to change hearts and to save lives. But it all starts with us sharing the good news. Sharing the good news of Jesus. It did with the first Christians at Pentecost. And it still does for us today. May we thus speak and share and proclaim the name of Jesus lovingly, boldly, and often to the glory of God and the spread of His church. In the name of Jesus Christ, our living Lord and Savior. Amen.